From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Well, thanks for making the time to do this. I know, crazy times. No, nobody has time for anything. That's how I certainly feel.
Oh my God, how are you doing?
That's Eric Edelson I'm talking to. He's the CEO of Fireclay Tile, the first and only B Corp tile company in the world. And Eric asked how I'm doing. I'm doing okay, thanks. You know, it used to be kind of meaningless as like a formality to ask how people are doing. You'd say it while walking down the street. Hey, how you doing? But now, during this crazy crisis, when people ask how you're doing, it feels like they mean it, like they want an honest answer, which I've started providing.
I feel every day, I feel like I've reached a new kind of breaking point, but we keep going.
Yeah. And this is when amazing things happen.
Which is true. And it's the reason I want to tell you his story. This is not a story that takes place during coronavirus. It's a story that takes place a few years prior, during one of those crisis moments for an entrepreneur that's a real crisis, but, you know, not a global pandemic crisis. But all the same, I think what Eric says there applies. Crisis times are when you truly discover what you've got. It's when you buckle down, discover the cracks in your foundation, and either fix them or fall through them. And for Eric, that moment began in September of 2017. He'd spent the last few years transforming his company and seeing significant and very exciting growth. I mean, they were selling tiles to Starbucks, Google, Facebook, Salesforce. They were becoming a go-to brand in tiling. And then, with rapid speed, everything just crashed.
Literally, the company broke. We went from having done a pretty good job during the year in terms of keeping up with orders, I'd say averaging 80% on time with orders, which was pretty good for us, to dropping to 30, 40% on time. Gross margin went totally down the tubes and cash basically evaporated.
Eric had to take a close look at everything and everyone, every failing part of his system, every employee who wasn't making the right decisions. And here's the thing. Once he looked around and surveyed the wreckage, he realized who the culprit was. And it was him. Like I said a minute ago, crisis forces you to look at the cracks in your foundation. Don't forget to ask if you are one of those cracks, because if you know that that is true and you can accept it, then you can fix it. And that is a story that is worth telling and a lesson worth remembering, especially right now. So that's the tale that we're going to tell here on Problem Solvers. It is the tale of Eric fixing a business and fixing himself. And by the way, I should note that this is a very special bonus episode of Problem Solvers, which is why you're getting two episodes this week. It is brought to you by Asana. Eric's company, Fireclay, uses Asana. And before we get into the story, we are going to take a quick break to hear from, well, you guessed it. What if you could spend less time juggling emails and meetings and status updates and more time doing the work that matters most to your team? You know, like pushing boundaries and solving problems and making something real. Whether you're planning your next marketing campaign, launching new products, or onboarding new vendors, Asana reduces the busy work that wastes time. Asana is a web and mobile application designed to help teams organize, track, and manage their work. And that means Asana gives teams clarity so they understand their plans and goals and how they will achieve them together. And as anyone who's managed a team knows, a team that has true visibility into the plan is a team that is far more excited to go and execute that plan. From small companies to global enterprises, more than a million teams across 195 countries use Asana to plan, organize, and execute their work. Learn more and try Asana for free. Visit asana.com, that is ASANA.com, to get started. All right, we're back. So before we get into how Fireclay Tile grew and fell apart and how Eric put it back together, let's understand where Eric came from, because the thing is, Eric's journey with Fireclay Tile began during another moment of crisis.
To bring you back to 2008, fall, Lehman Brothers goes bankrupt, financial recession crisis basically starts to sink in, and the idea of starting a new building material company is just crazy.
Eric had actually once worked for Lehman Brothers doing venture capital and public market investing in the healthcare space, but he left a few years earlier in 2005 and went to business school at Stanford. After that, he moved to Seattle to lead finance for a small sports drink company.
I actually got fired from it, which is a great story in itself.
Which I was tempted to ask about, but we already have enough crisis in this episode to deal with. So Eric, he's out of the sports drink company and he starts doing some independent consulting. And then he connects with this guy, Paul Burns, who grew up in the tile industry and had started Fireclay Tile in 1986. But by 2008, when Eric and Paul start connecting, Fireclay Tile is not doing well. It had maybe 30 employees, declining revenues, a broken business model. Paul needed help, and Eric liked what he saw in Fireclay Tile, so in February of 2009, he decided to step in. At first, Eric just tried to stop the bleeding. The company needed immediate help on basically every front. And by 2013, after a few years of intense work, Eric realized something. The problem wasn't just the business. It was the entire marketplace it was in.
We at the time were a wholesale-driven company selling through dealers just like everyone else in the tile business who were manufacturers. And we had this moment of realization that we were never going to win in wholesale.
So let me break that down for you in case you're not totally fluent on the tiling industry. So up until this point, Fireclay Tile was selling its tiles to independent tile stores around the country. There's about 1,000 of them. So Fireclay would call them or go to trade shows, send postcards, do whatever it took to get their tiles into the tile stores. And because of this, Fireclay was entirely dependent upon these tile stores. Consumers generally had no idea that Fireclay even existed. As far as a consumer was concerned, the tiles just came from the store. And in fact, if a customer had called Fireclay directly, Fireclay would just redirect them to the store. I mean, they basically had disappeared behind these stores. And this, it turned out, was a kind of garbage way of doing business.
The terms were awful. Margins were horrendous. If they paid, you know, we had net 30 terms for them most of the time. Maybe they paid us at 45 or 60 days. So I always used to joke, we had a great business. We just had a bad business model.
So Eric decided to fire all of his customers, to stop selling to those stores, and instead to start selling directly to consumers, architects, designers, and contractors, basically cut out the middleman and get to the people actually building or living in a space that needs tiling.
So we had to really almost reinvent ourselves overnight and create our brand overnight.
Which is no small feat. I asked Eric for the biggest things that his company did during that time to make the most impact. And here are his two biggest takeaways for transforming a company by connecting with an entirely new kind of customer.
Number one was making sampling incredibly easy.
People want to touch and see this stuff. So Fireclay sent out samples for free. It doesn't actually do that anymore, but it did at the beginning. And they would support it with a lot of design assistance features so people could feel like they had a showroom in their homes.
The second thing I think was just really leaning into being a digital first company.
If you're going to change your business model, if you're going to leave stores and sell direct to consumer, you have to embrace every single thing that's required to do that. So Fireclay created an incredible website with a great back end, really focused on SEO, got involved in the influencer world, and invested in amazing photography and so on. In summary, they thought, okay, we have a new customer. What does that customer want? What attracts that new customer? And then we need to do all of that. And they also built a strong sales team and marketing team to support it all. Now, this paid off. Over the next few years, they saw great growth. They raised $3 million from investors. They were feeling good, and they should. But then, out of what felt like nowhere, crash. Like, sales were growing, demand was increasing, but they couldn't keep up with the demand. Everything just felt like it was falling apart, which it actually was.
Me and the founder were going through some challenging, just interpersonal situations. Our relationship wasn't going really well. And on the production side, we just had a series of calamities.
There was a fire, for example. Nobody was hurt, but it messed up some of their critical equipment. And their production system was just straight up failing. Orders weren't being scheduled or being lost. Their facilities had become a wreck. And here's where, as Eric said in the beginning, they went from fulfilling 80% of orders on time down to maybe 30 or 40% on time. Gross margins plummeted. Cash disappeared.
October 2017, I mean, we were broke. I was super depressed, challenging time getting out of bed, just almost not even wanting to take another order, seriously considering, do I just close this business? Because the next order we take in, I just don't even know what they're going to get. And it was just a complete disaster.
it happened so fast. And like Eric says here, he had a choice to make. Does he even keep this business open or just declare it too broken to fix and close up shop? To make that decision, he started trying to identify the problem. Like, what was causing all of this misery? And was it something he could actually address? And I asked him how he started diagnosing what was wrong. And his answer was just so candid that I'm going to play the whole thing for you.
So I think for a lot of people who have been through kind of a challenging business time, probably on the personal side, they're also going through something challenging as well. Because, you know, when it rains, it pours. And so for me personally, at the time, my relationship with my wife was struggling. We were actually in counseling. I wasn't exercising. I'm a huge running fanatic, and I just wasn't exercising and staying healthy. And I'd hired a coach for the first time ever to just kind of like help me get through this. And that coach, you know, funny story, I mean, that coach ended up firing me as a client because I just was inconsistent with showing up because I just really wasn't excited to talk to her. But, you know, she actually helped me tremendously. And, you know, she just looked at me in the face and, you know, said, "Eric, what are you going to do to fix this?" And she kept asking me that. And the only thing I could say was, well, I gotta be in the factory. And at the time we had a plant manager who was pretty focused on hierarchy. So it was his factory. He ran it a certain way. So I really interacted with him. I didn't really go beneath him, and we stayed pretty hierarchical. And so listening to her, I realized the only thing I could do was really go to the source and really start to understand what was happening. And so that's what I did. And so late October 2017, early November, I started going down there, and I started sleeping there. We had no money, so I couldn't get a hotel room. So I would take my camping Therm-a-Rest and my sleeping bag. I would sleep in. We had a nursing mother's room. And so I would sleep in there at night. I would basically work from 5 a.m. to 11 at night and just walk the floor and talk to people and try to understand. And to be frank, I mean, it took me about 24 to 48 hours to understand that we had no idea what was going on. I mean, we were tracking everything on paper. We had certain materials allocated for orders that had already shipped. I mean, there was just total disorganization. And so from, you know, November to December, I just started fixing stuff.
Here's what I love about that answer. Two things. First, great honesty. It is awesome that Eric could share this with us, but it's more important that he was able to recognize it himself. He saw problems. Big problems. And he recognized them as problems. He saw problems in his own life and recognized them too. And you can't start fixing something unless you're able to look at it straight on. And here's the second thing I love. He turned one massive, unknowable problem into a series of smaller problems to solve. I mean, the personal stuff was complicated and emotional, but the business stuff was tangible. He moved into that factory, understood the problem, and then saw what needed to be done. He took it from the scary and abstract to the logical and concrete. Every problem, big or small, is just a problem to be solved. You build a to-do list. And at the factory, the answer was process. There was no good process there. There wasn't the right communication. There wasn't the right software setup. The whole thing was just a mess. It wasn't being managed properly. The answer was better process. And they fixed it in part by building systems and structure and moving people onto platforms where they can coordinate and communicate. Salesforce, they use Zenefits, and yes, Asana. And all that sounds a little obvious, doesn't it? Like, yeah, the company came crashing down, the systems were a mess, so what are you going to do? Fix the system. It made me wonder why Eric wasn't focused on that before. Why, you know, it took a crisis for the CEO of this company to realize how much of a mess things were at his company. Shouldn't he have known that? And here, in answering this question, Eric is equally transparent and gets to what is really the greatest leadership lesson in all of this.
Well, I think that first and foremost, I'll say, I think this was on me. You know, I think my greatest lesson during this period of time as a leader was just my own accountability and personal accountability to myself and holding other people accountable.
Eric has thought a lot about this, actually. He grew up seeing his parents fight a lot, and he thinks that it shaped him into being a person who's enthusiastic and optimistic, but also someone who has trouble giving clear and explicit feedback. He had basically become someone who was uncomfortable with conflict. And then that had translated into how he was as a manager. I mean, he thinks that he probably saw problems here and there. He saw the telltale signs of a system inching towards failure and of managers not holding people accountable and people just not doing what needed to be done. And he kind of let it go, kind of maybe didn't see it because he didn't want to confront people.
So I think, yes, like there were some system flaws and personnel flaws and things like that. But at the end of the day, I was the one who was flawed because I hadn't done a great job as a leader, holding my team members accountable for their performance and the impact it was having on our organization.
That's something he's since worked a lot on. He now makes the process explicitly clear up front to everyone. He wants people to know what is required of them and what is expected, because if the foundation is laid, then being a manager and stepping into course correct doesn't feel like conflict. It feels like sticking to the plan. It makes a difference.
And so, you know, I mean, from that day on to now, I mean, anything that goes wrong in our company, the first person I blame is me. Because I look at that time, and to your point, I should have been well ahead of this. Why hadn't I been more focused on holding that plan manager accountable to our on-time targets? Why hadn't I been more focused on making sure that we had very clear process and accountability up and down the company so that these kinds of mistakes wouldn't happen? Why couldn't I, if someone wasn't doing their job, hold them accountable to it? And if it wasn't working, just say that this isn't the right place.
These are good questions. These are important questions. Leaders need to be asking themselves these questions, not just in a time of crisis, but literally any time something goes wrong. Why didn't I do it better? How can I do it better? How can I be the solution and not the problem? Every problem is an opportunity for leadership. And case in point, after early 2018, things at Fireclay started looking up.
We basically doubled our business since then. I think we finished that year at about 12 million. Last year, we finished just about 21. We were on our way to about 30 this year, and I think we were all experiencing a bit of a setback. But honestly, the lessons and learnings from that crisis have really shaped our business massively. I mean, someone on our team made this comment as we were talking about how we're retooling right now, because we actually took our factory down for about 2 weeks over the last few weeks to really just kind of take a breath, get safety and cleaning and scheduling all sorted out as we continue to operate, that, you know, our ability to respond right now and keep customers aware of what's going on, shift orders, prioritize orders is, you know, so much better because of what we learned in 2017 and 2018.
Which is a great way to think about crisis. Yeah, it is not easy, but if you're up to the task, you will learn a lot about your company and about yourself. And you'll be more prepared for everything going forward. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.